Welcome to the teaching ministry of Stephen Fraser and Life of Faith Bible Church, an outreach dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Fraser with today's message.
Psalm 78. Talking about the children of Israel, in verse 40, it says, how often they provoked him in the wilderness and grieved him in the desert. Notice that God was provoked by them. God was grieved by them. We see that God can be provoked. God can be grieved by people. He grieved and grieved him in the desert. Yes, again and again they tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. They did not remember his power the day when he redeemed them from the enemy. Do you remember how God has redeemed you? How he redeemed you and you came running out of the grave? How he redeemed our life? We never want to forget what God has done. What he has done is a sign of what he is going to do, what he has for us. But these folks, they forgot all that he did for them, and they just kept whining and complaining, and they limited him. And by limiting God, they grieved the Holy Spirit. They grieved God. So we don't want to put limits on God. We want to take the limits off. We want to, any limits that we're putting on God, we want to take them off. Now, when it comes to God prospering us, how many people know God wants to prosper you? That's what he wanted to do with the children of Israel. Again, he had a land flowing with milk and honey. He had a lot of great things for them, a land that had everything they could ever need or want. It was all there just waiting for them, and they went without it their whole life. But it was God's will for them to have it. Think about that. It was God's will for them to have. His plan for their life was so awesome, so rich. And yet, they missed the whole thing. They remained in a desert rather than in this promised land. Well, you know, the Bible says those things are written as an example for you and I. And we need to learn from that and make sure that we don't do as they did and end up like they did. We want to walk in God's best. We want to walk in the fullness of God's promises for our life. And that includes a life of prosperity. So, when it comes to prosperity, this is what I want to get into tonight. I have to ask you a question. Would God have his people of faith have a budget? Should people of faith have a budget? All right. Now, a budget, you understand, provides spending boundaries or limitations. We're talking about not wanting to limit the Holy One of Israel. And a budget sets these boundaries or limitations up for people to keep them from getting out over their heads financially. So it's limits. A budget shows a person's limits. And yet, God is an unlimited God who wants us to live a life of faith, which is an unlimited life. So with that in mind, does God want you? Would God expect you? Would God lead you to have a budget when it comes to finances? Now, a budget is a financial plan, a financial blueprint, an estimate of income and expenditures for a set period of time. Again, the faith life is a limitless, boundless, unlimited life. A life where all things are possible. So I'm going to ask you a third time. Now, we just said what a budget is, right? A budget has boundaries. It's financial boundaries and limitations. And God wants us to live a limitless, boundless life. So, does faith have a budget? Yes. How many people would like understanding of your answer? Yes. You know, you can answer correctly, really not understand what you're answering. You know that? It's like you know what the answer is, but you don't know what you're talking about. We need to have understanding. We need to have a little depth. We need to have some root in ourselves concerning these realities. Luke, the 14th chapter. I'm going to help you tonight by the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Luke 14, Jesus said in verse 27, he said, "Whoever does not bear his cross and come after me, he cannot be my disciple." Then he gives this illustration. "For which of you intending to build a tower does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it? Lest after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, 'This man began to build and was not able to finish.'" Why wasn't he able to finish? Because he didn't have a budget. He didn't know what his limits were. And so he set out to do something. He had these great plans, and he got halfway through the thing, and he couldn't finish the project because he didn't have enough, because he didn't first sit down and count the cost. He didn't set up his budget. Verse 31, "Or what king going to make war against another king does not sit down first and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000. Or else, while the other is still a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks conditions of peace. So likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple." So Jesus is talking about counting the cost, and he's talking about following him. There's a lot of people that said, "Lord, I'll follow you wherever you go," and they wanted to follow him, but they didn't really have a concept of what they were saying. They didn't really have a concept about what it would cost to fully follow Jesus. How many of you know faith follows Jesus? Faith follows him. And so faith has to have a concept of what it's doing. It has to have a handle on what it's doing. It needs to know if it has what it takes to finish what it is setting out to do. Just like we talked about a few weeks ago with our brother Peter, who was in the boat, and when he saw Jesus on the water, he said, "Lord, if that's you, bid me to come to you on the water." And Jesus said, "Come." And so he jumped out of the boat and began to walk on the water. But then he only went a little ways and began to sink because he wasn't able to finish what he had set out to do. He didn't have a full concept of what he was doing. He didn't really understand where he was at and what he was doing. I believe he just kind of got caught up in the emotions of the moment and didn't really consider what would happen if it got really windy. What would happen if the waves really started to pick up? What would happen? I believe Jesus had counted that cost before he started walking out to them on the water. I believe Jesus was fully prepared for whatever storm would try to meet him out there on the water. And he was ready to walk through whatever that storm was in order to be able to get to his destination. Peter didn't think much about it. He didn't have much root in himself, much understanding in what he was doing. He just said, "Lord, if that's you," and he just jumped out and did it. And then as soon as the wind kicked up and he noticed the waves, he began to sink. He began to sink. So we need to have a handle on whatever it is we're doing in life. We need to count the costs, or we need to have a budget when it comes to our finances, because we know God wants to prosper us. And a lot of people just think, well, you know, my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus, and it's God's will to prosper me, and Father God, I just believe for this, and I'm just believing for that. I'm believing for this new car. I'm believing for this new house. I'm believing for this amount of money. I'm believing for this. I'm believing for that. And a lot of folks never see these prayer requests come to pass because they really don't have a concept of what they are asking for. they really don't have a concept of what it would take for them to receive the thing that they're asking for. Faith understands full well what it's asking for. Faith understands what it's asking for. Faith knows the details of its condition, of where it is at. It understands where it is at. A lot of people think, well, you know, God's great. He's all powerful. He's almighty. That's true concerning God. But you need to also know you. You need to know where your limits are. You need to know where you are at. You need to understand what you can believe for. You know, the Bible says we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Well, then go ahead and do brain surgery on somebody. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Well, go ahead and do brain surgery on somebody, huh? Well, I can't do that. You just said you can do all things. See, you really couldn't do all things. And yet he said you can do all things. You see, if it was also all up to God, yeah, we can do all things, but it's not all. With faith, when we're talking about the life of faith, it's not all up to God. It's about us and God. It's not just talking about the power. Faith isn't just dealing with the power of God. It's not just talking about the super ability of God. It's talking about your natural abilities also. That's where we get the supernatural. You got to have the super and the natural. So you need to understand the super in God, and you need to understand the natural place where you are at. If you're going to walk in the supernatural, you got to have a handle on both of them. So you got to know God and you got to know yourself. You got to know where God is at. You got to know his will and what he wants and what he's saying. But you also got to know where you're at spiritually. Where are you at naturally? Where are you at right now in your relationship with God? Where are you at right now when it comes to your budget? When it comes to where you're at financially? We need to understand the money isn't going to just drop out of heaven. Provision is not just going to fall from heaven. The things that we have needed in life isn't just going to fall on us in life. That there's a way that God leads us to lay hold of his prosperity for our life. And it's a very natural path that he leads us down. So we got to follow his guidance. We have to follow that natural wisdom that the Spirit of God gives us. You know, God doesn't expect you to throw out your brain when you follow him. He expects you to start getting really good at using it. God doesn't expect you to throw away a calculator when it comes to following him. He expects you to use it more. You got to get good at counting. You got to get good at considering things. You got to get good at knowing where you are so that you know where to go to get where you want to be or where God wants you to be. You know, it's hard to go to point B if you don't know where point A is. Point A is where you are right now. And so to get to the next place, you got to know very well where you are. So it's important to know about that next place very well. And where you are, you need to know that. And you need to know what it would take to get there. That's how it happens. It's not a mindless thing. Following the Spirit of God isn't some mindless thing where you just kind of, all of a sudden you wake up one day and go, how did I get here? I mean, it has felt like that sometimes with me. Sometimes I pinch myself. I say, how did I get here? How did I get here? But there was a path. There was a walking things out. There was a working things out. And so we need to understand that. Faith works things out. The Bible says that we're to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. There's a working things out. Now, the problem with a lot of people working things out is that they get very focused on their works. And when they get their minds on the details and they start looking at their budget, they get hung up on their budget. They get hung up on the details. God doesn't want you to get hung up on the details, but he wants you to be able to know the details. Know the details. Know them well without getting hung up on it. A lot of people get hung up on it. They start looking at the details. You know. They sit down, they start putting numbers together, they start looking at things, and then they start getting overwhelmed. I didn't know it was this bad. I don't know how we're going to pay the bills. I don't know how this is going to. And they start having the panic attack. And then next thing you know, if there's other people, you know, in the family that are contributing to the lack of funds in the budget, there's usually a good amount of strife that'll break out at that point. And so people get overwhelmed by the details. No, you need to know the details and not be overwhelmed by the details. You need to know them and not get hung up on them. You need to know what you have, but also know at the same time what God can do. Know what you have, know where you're at, but know what God can do. Don't leave the super out of the natural. See, this is the problem. People get either all super, and they don't know what's going on in the natural. They don't have a handle on anything that they have or where they're going or what it takes to get there. Or they go, well, I heard Pastor talk about we got to know the natural. And they just leave the super. They get over here in the natural, and now they're stressed. And then you have a message like this. You talk about you need to know the natural. You need to put a budget together. And then you don't see them at church anymore. And you call them up and say, what happened? You say, I ran out and got another job. I recognize I needed to do more, to make more, to be able to take care of these bills. See, folks will run over into the natural ditch. So it's so hard for folks many times to just stay in the middle of the road, but it's in the middle of the road that you have the supernatural. That's where you'll see the supernatural ability of God in your life. Now, Israel, they limited the Holy One of Israel. They limited him, not themselves. See, we're talking about a budget. We're talking about putting limitations on yourself, or I should say on your flesh. Not putting limitations on God. We need to put limits on ourselves. We need to set up boundaries around our life. Our flesh needs boundaries. God doesn't. We don't want to limit him, but you do have to limit you. And it's in limiting you that you really unlock the unlimited ability of God in your life. Did you get that? See, we want to unlock the unlimited ability of God in our life, and we do that by placing limits on ourselves. In other words, we're not just going to live reckless lives. We're not just going to just do whatever happens and just go by our feelings. There is a plan. There is a way of getting things done and getting to the destination that we desire, the destination that God has for us. Can you say amen? So faith believes God and budgets itself. A budget tells me what I have in the natural to function. I need to know what I need in order for God to supply my needs. See, we see that over in Philippians 4:19, it says, and my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Well, you ask people, well, what are all your needs? Tell me all your needs. Well, I don't know exactly. Well, that's exactly what you get. You don't know. You'll get a I don't know. You'll get nothing. For God to supply all your needs, you got to know all your needs. You need to know them, and you need to know the details. You need to get specific. A lot of people just try to be very general with God. They try to avoid the details and the facts, and they just very just God. Hey, God knows what I have need of. That's God's side. Yes, God knows what you have need of. You're absolutely right. But you need to know what you have need of. Jesus, in Matthew's gospel, in teaching us how to pray, he said, now when you pray, he said, you know, you don't go on and on and on about it because your heavenly Father knows what you have need of. Now, he didn't tell him, you don't have to pray. Your Father knows what you need. No, you have to pray. He said, you have not because you ask not. So you have to know what it is you're asking for. You have to know what you're asking for. It means you have to know what you have need of in order for God to supply it. How much money does it cost for what you need? Well, I need this. How much does it cost? I don't know. See, you don't have a handle on it. You got to get a handle on the details of what it is you need so that you really know what you need and all that you need in order for you to have the thing that you're asking for. So there is some natural involved in it, in being spiritual. Being spiritual is not being totally unnatural. Being spiritual is working with the natural, working with the natural. God working with you in this natural world. You see it with Jesus. Jesus is always doing natural things. You know, how many of you know God is the creator of science? God's the creator of creation. And it's amazing how you can study everything out and it's all it all mathematically works. Everything mathematically works together. There's all these laws that work and they all work a certain way and you can study it all out and break it all down and understand all right down to the smallest little atom, molecule. You could understand how everything works because there's a science to the creation that we live in. It isn't just all just happening mysteriously. Things are just holding together. It's amazing. No, it's very natural. God created the natural. We know exactly when the sun's going to come up. We know exactly when the sun's going to set. I mean, you can set your clock to it. They tell you exactly when it's going to set. They can tell you all these things. Everything works a certain way. That's how God expects us to work in life. That's how he's going to prosper us in life. So praying becomes a very practical thing. It becomes a very practical thing to do. And as we pray, we're asking God for understanding of the things that we're asking for so that we can understand what we're asking for and be able to receive it. Because remember, Jesus talked about the sower, how the sower sowed the seed, which was the word of God, and it fell on different types of ground. It fell by the wayside. And the Bible says, Jesus said, the birds of the air came and they ate it. Then there was some seed that fell on stony ground. And it didn't have any root in itself, but it sprung up right away because it didn't have to travel very far in the dirt because it wasn't very deep into the dirt. But because it had no root in itself, as soon as the sun came up, it scorched it and it died. Then he said there was other seed that fell among thorns. And it grew up, but then the thorns also, the weeds grew up alongside it and choked it out and it didn't last. Then there was seed that fell on good ground and then that produced a harvest. So it's just like that when it comes to believing God. There is different depths of understanding of what we're asking for. And a lot of people ask, they make very shallow prayers when it comes to asking things of God. They come and they ask and their prayers are very shallow and they really don't have any root in what they're asking. They don't have real understanding of what, and they don't really understand what it's going to take to have this, to maintain this, to be able to walk in this. And so they start to receive it from God, but then it doesn't last. Some people never even starts because it was just by the wayside. It was just an emotional prayer. They had no concept of what they were asking for. And I've been amazed. You know, there's been folks really struggling, living in some really tough conditions. And I've sat down with them and talked to them about their finances and their budget. And I just begin to talk to them a little bit about what I'm just talking about right now, just getting a handle on things. And just by them tweaking some things and sitting down and getting a handle on where they are and really understanding what it would take to get where they want to be, they all of a sudden realize they already had it. They already had it. They just didn't know it. They were living without it because they just didn't know what they had. And I've seen that on more than one occasion. And then they saw it, they made an adjustment, and there was an immediate change in their living conditions. Simply because they got control of their circumstances. God wants us to be in control of our circumstances. Faith isn't just general in its praying. It's specific. It knows the facts and the details. Like I said, faith is not reckless. It is well organized, structured, and in control. Again, Israel limited God because they lived disorganized, reckless lives. I mean, if you just look, go back in the Old Testament and look how the children of Israel talked and lived. Look at their attitude about life, and you can see why they limited God. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Notice over there talks a lot about the children of Israel. Again, so that we can learn from them and not follow in their example. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5. It says, but with most of them, God was not well pleased, for their bodies were scattered. Everybody say scattered. Scattered in the wilderness. Now the wilderness, in the Old Testament, when it talks about the wilderness, that word means a place of disorder, chaos. So they lived in a place of chaos, and they were scattered. These were disorganized people. They didn't know where, they forgot where they came from. They forgot what God did for them, and they didn't have a concept of where they were going. And they didn't do what it took to get a hold of these things. They just live fleshly, disorganized, scattered lives out there in the wilderness. Notice verse 7. It says, and do not become idolaters as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Notice this. They had no boundaries, no restraints on their life. It was just eat and play. Eat and play. Life's a big game. People are just playful, frolicking through life. They really don't have a concept. You know, young people have to watch that. But it's not even just young people anymore. We've got a whole society today that is just teaching people to live this undisciplined life. And it's like you've got adults singing and looking at videos of people saying, you have a right to party. You know, it's just about partying. It's just about having fun. Girls just want to have fun. You know that. I mean, it's just about having fun and playing and partying, and life's just a big joke, and people are reckless and careless, and as a result of that, they die scattered in a wilderness, in a desert, in a dry place, contrary to the will of God for their life. And you see in the Word of God that God was constantly trying to help these people to structure their lives and to set boundaries around their life, to set limits for themselves so that they would not limit God. If you do not limit your partying, if you do not limit your fun, if you don't limit your eating, if you don't limit the flesh, you will limit God. And if you want to release God, you want to unleash his unlimited ability in your life, then you're going to have to do contrary to what the children of Israel did. You're going to have to set boundaries around your life. You're going to have to limit yourself. Limit what goes in your mouth. Limit what comes out of your mouth. Limit what you're saying. Limit what you're doing. It's called self-control. We have to have control over ourselves. We have to restrain ourselves. And if we will restrain ourselves, God will be unrestrained in our life. Don't that sound great? So that's what faith is all about. Faith restrains itself so it can unrestrain God. Faith limits itself so that it will not limit the Almighty God, the God of Israel. And I was asking the Lord for an illustration. This is something that was actually stirring up in me while I was walking on the beach on this latest vacation I just took. Walking out there on the beach, fellowshipping with the Lord. And I said, Lord, how do we reconcile? I need an illustration of how to reconcile living an unlimited life of faith and yet having a budget and being limited. I said, how do you reconcile that? And I didn't have the foggiest idea. I'm looking for an illustration. I said, I need an illustration of this. I mean, you know. And I mean, I got an illustration immediately. And he pointed to the ocean and said, the ocean represents the unlimited ability of God. The unlimited aspects of faith. And he said, but then out there, there's a boat. And that boat represents your budget. And if you have a budget, which is a limited place for you to occupy, and you get in that boat and you have boundaries. If you get out of the boat, if you go over those boundaries and get away from the boat, you may sink. You may go under. So you stay within the limits of the boat for safety. And yet the boat is floating on an unlimited ocean. Unlimited ocean. And when you have a boat, you're able to explore the unlimited areas of the sea. You're able to go from sea to shiny sea without any limits if you have a boat. If you don't have a boat and you're just on the beach and you say, wow, look at the ocean. Look how vast, how wide, how great it is. And you think, I want to explore it all. And you just get excited and charge out there. And you start going. You're going to go so far. And you're going to have limits. You're going to hit your limit. And when you hit your limit, then you got to turn around and decide, do I have enough strength to get back to the beach? Because I can't go any further. If you just go out there without a boat in your and you're just swimming out there because you just like the sea, you know, you're very limited, aren't you, in how far you can go, of how much of that ocean you can really explore, how much of that ocean you can enjoy. But now if you have a ship, if you have a boat, then you can travel all over the place. Well, it's the same thing with the budget. When you have a budget, when you have boundaries in your budget, you understand where you are and what you have, and you stay within that, then you're able to take that and go and move out into the unlimited ability of God. Now, some folks don't have a boat. They have a raft. And you have to, that's a good place to start. We all start somewhere. Thank God. So you, praise God, you got your faith raft. And you get your faith raft and you start going out there. And I remember a few years ago, I remember standing there on the beach and I saw dolphins going by. And I had this little one-man raft. And I saw the dolphins. I go, I'm going to go out there. I'm going to go right out to where the dolphins are, you know, because dolphins are friendly, you know. So I take the oar, you know, and I start going out there. And it's early in the morning, you know, and you see them out there. And I just keep going. And I know I'm getting close. And all of a sudden I see one again. You know, it's like, they come up out of the water. So I just keep rowing. Then I don't see them for a while. I keep rowing. I'm all the way out there. I'm like, I know they got to be right about here. And all of a sudden I look, and this submarine, this dolphin, it was like a submarine. I'm in this little raft. You understand? I'm low to the ground. I'm all the way down here. And it goes under the raft. I repent, Lord. Forgive me, Lord. Forgive me, Lord. I'll never do it again, Lord. I repent. Just get me back to land. I was like, this monster just came out. I mean, you know, when you're right out there and you're in this little raft. And then I got, you know, 50 of the way back, and I was back to safety again. I thought, what did I panic for? That was cool. I was like, well, I'm not going to go back out there. I've already repented. I did not fully count the cost of going out in my faith raft as whether or not I can handle a dolphin coming right up next to my little raft. Do you see the illustration? See, some folks have a faith raft, and then they want to get out into the deepest part of the sea. You don't want to go to the deepest part of the sea in a raft. What happens if a storm comes along? What happens if a trial and test comes along in your life while you're out beyond where your faith is, what your faith can handle? You might not be able to make it back, see? And then you can have like a small craft, small boat, and you can go pretty far, but still you still have to watch it. So you see, as our faith grows, or I should say, as our budget grows, then we're able to go further and further in our faith. Our faith is connected to our budget when it comes to prospering in life. So you have to have a budget. You have to have boundaries. Otherwise, there's just chaos. There's just confusion. You don't have a handle. You have to have a handle on things. But as you're able to grow in faith, obeying God, and expand your budget, then you're able to go further in what you can believe God for. We want to believe God for great things. I mean, we just want to keep growing and growing and growing in our faith. And that includes growing and growing in our understanding of our natural circumstances and increasing in our natural capabilities and abilities. Because the supernatural does not function apart from your natural abilities. It connects with your natural abilities. So as you expand in your natural, see, God's always looking to expand you, your abilities, your thinking. He wants you to get smarter. He wants you to get stronger. He's very concerned in how you think, how you talk, how you live, how you eat, how you take care of yourself, how you sleep. He cares about all the details of your life because all these things are going to affect what he's able to do in and through your life. So it's the natural and the supernatural working together. Again, you sit down, you start. You're thinking you got some big plans. You're getting a hold of God's plans for your life. You've got big plans. And you got your budget. And your budget shows you your limitations. It shows your limitations. But you wanna access the unlimited ability of God. You wanna access his unlimited resources. But you have to know where your resources come to an end. Because notice here in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and in verse 9, and he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength, this is talking about God's strength, is made perfect in weakness. Woo! Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities or my weaknesses, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Notice he says, I glory in my weaknesses. I boast in them. He didn't say I hide from them. No. He embraced them. He went in there and found out where he was weak. See, when you go in there and find out where you're weak, where you're limited, That's when the power, the unlimited power of God can begin to work on your behalf. See, when you recognize where you're weak, that's where God's strength kicks in. That's what a budget should do for you. You shouldn't just stop there in the budget and say, oh, we don't have it. This is where it runs out. This is as far as we can go. Hallelujah! You just found out how far you could go. You just found out where your strength quit. You just found out where your ability ended. That's where the power of God can begin. But you got to find that out. You got to know that. Now you can begin to step over here in the ability and strength of God. But if you don't know what that is, if you don't know where that ends, then you can never get the strength and power of God to begin to operate on your behalf. Because to get the strength and power of God to operate on your behalf, to get the power of Christ to come upon you, you have to first understand where your ability ends. Where your limitations are. When you discover your limitations, that's when the unlimited resources and ability of God can begin to work on your behalf. Are you starting to see this thing? Praise God forever. Notice over in Luke chapter 9, we see that the disciples had a budget. They recognized their limits. Luke, the 9th chapter, verse 12. When the day began to wear away, the 12 came and said to him, send the multitude away, that they may go into the surrounding towns and country and lodge and get provisions, for we are in a deserted place. We're in a desert. But he said to them, you give them something to eat. And they said, we have no more than 5 loaves and 2 fish, unless we go and buy food for all these people. For there were about 5,000 men. And he said to his disciples, make them sit down in groups of 50. Now notice this. Jesus says, you give them something to eat. And they knew exactly where their limit was, didn't they? They said, we have no more than 5 loaves and 2 fish. That's all we got. That's all we got in our budget. How in the world are we going to go ahead and provide food for all these people? We just don't have that in our food budget, Jesus. They understood their limits, didn't they? They understood exactly what they had and what they didn't have, didn't they? The problem was, they also didn't understand what he could do. And so, their budget limited God in their life. Because all they saw was what they had in the natural. They didn't look and say, all we have is this, but Lord, what do you think? What do you want to do? See, you and I need to be led by the Spirit of God. God gets the final say in where we go, what we do, and what we possess. He's the one that tells us what we're supposed to do, what we're supposed to possess. I remember when we were living in our little rented townhouse. It's a nice word for an apartment. A townhouse sounds better than an apartment, doesn't it? But that's where we were. So, we had just moved to the city here. And I remember I was just so happy, you know. I said, oh, Lord. I said, I'm just so happy where I am. And, you know, I looked at my nice pink ripped couch that was handed down from great-grandma to grandma to mom to me. You know, my house was beautiful. It looked like it had been furnished by the Salvation Army. It was all hand-me-down things and stuff. But it didn't bother me. I had my own place. Look at this, man. I got my own place. And I just got Jesus. Jesus is in my tent. He's here in this place with me. So I just celebrating God. And then I said, Lord, I'm just so happy. I said, I don't need anything. I'm very happy right here. And he came right back and really was like a rebuke. The Spirit of God spoke to me. And he said, I'm not. Get out and get a house. Can you imagine that? He said, I'm not. I'm not happy about you being just here. Get out and get a house. He wanted me to move on. He wanted me to expand. And so I did. I went on and got a house. But isn't that amazing how God would want us to expand? See, people just, well, I don't need much. It doesn't matter what you need. What does God want? See, ultimately, we want to be led by the Spirit of God. He needs to be the one that directs our desires. He's the one that directs what we need in life. We're not just going to look at the natural. We're going to look to the Spirit of God to lead us and guide us and instruct us. Lord, this is what we have. This is what it looks like we can do. But what do you say? What do you want? And he says, do this. And you come back and look at the budget and say, well, I can go this far with it. And that's as far as I can go. But if that's what you want me to do, bless God, we'll do it. We'll do it. In fact, you know, when it came to building a building out here, getting this land, you know, the Lord had spoken to me. We were in a little rented room behind a gun shop. That's where we were having church for our first year or so. And again, I said, well, Lord, you know, when we have more people and more money comes in, we'll go out and, you know, we'll get a church. We'll get in a church building. And he spoke to my heart and he told me, that's not faith. Go out and get a church building now. So I said, well, all right. So I began to do what I knew we could do. I began to shop around for any kind of church facility that was for sale. And there were a couple, and, you know, I endeavored to make some deals with the realtors and the pastors of those churches and things. And anyway, finally, it looked like we finally had a deal with this one place. And it was a raggy little place. They were all kind of raggy little places, bless their hearts. But they just were old buildings and things and very little parking lots, very limited facilities. But they were church buildings. And God said, get a church building. And so I was doing what he told me to do. And so that's where we were. And that's what I felt we could do. And so I was driving to our little rented facility that we were in at the time. And on the way there, the Spirit of God asked me a question. And he said, are you in faith about this building I just made a deal on? And I said, well, and this was my answer to him. I said, well, no, I can't say I'm in faith about it because you haven't specifically told me that this is the building, you know, that we're to get. I said, so I can't say that this would, you know, this is the best. And he said, well, what would be the best? And I chuckled, you know. What would be the, I said, well, the best would be if we can buy land and build our own building. God, where are you, God? And that's exactly what he wanted us to do. Now, I chuckled at it because for where we were at, you know, financially, you know, you know, to buy your own property and build your own building, that just didn't look like that was a reality. But I knew that was the direction to go. And when I got back to the building, back to the rented place that we were, I walked inside, just had this conversation with God, just came walking inside, and there was an answer to me message. I picked up the phone, and it was the pastor of that church that I thought we had a deal on. And he said, there's been some changes. We're not going to be able to sell the building to you. Sorry, good luck. He hung up the phone. That was the message. So to me, that was a confirmation. The grace just came off it. That was done. But God had me walk out, going to all these buildings. In fact, I remember writing up a proposal. And I felt really good about this one building. And I laid my hands on it, and the anointing came on. The Spirit of God came on me. And I blessed it. I said, woo, thank you, Lord. They're going to accept this offer. And I just got all excited about it. And I presented it. It didn't work out. I thought I knew God was all over that. And then I remember even when we were looking to get the building that, you know, designed on this property, once we had the property, you know, we wanted to get a building designed for it. I there were people that I went to and I thought, this is the one. It's all set up. And we got it all worked out and I felt the anointing come on it and everything. And it didn't work out. And I look back going, I'm like, God, I know you were in that. I know you were in that. Why didn't that work out? Because he was in it. And what he was doing was, he was growing me up in this whole process. He had me walking it out. I started out with where my faith was, and then we started growing. I didn't know I was growing, but I was growing through the process. I was growing through the entire process, praying, walking things out in the natural, getting a little smarter in how I dealt with some things, begin to grow in the natural, growing in my faith, all both working together. And that's when he said, how about, you know, he said, what would be best? And then I said this, and I realized that's what he wanted, and I realized we could do that. Not from a natural standpoint, but by faith in him, we can do that. And so we begin to walk that out. And you understand what I'm saying? It's the natural and the supernatural, and you're growing as you're going. And that meant we had the property out here. There were so many things we wanted to do to get a building built out here, and they just kept falling. It just kept falling apart. And so finally, we had a couple guys in our church. One was a structural engineer. And another guy had worked for a construction company and did some excavating. So he knew how to drive a bulldozer. So they said, well, we can do this. We can set the points out there, and we could, you know, and they would tell me what we can do, and we could measure things off and how to, you know, get it set up so that you could put a building out here. So I thought, well, let's do it. So we're out there, and we're setting things up and putting pegs in the ground, and we got the cameras going, and Jason, or what was his name? Jason, I think it was. And he's got the bulldozers, and he's knocking down trees and piling them up over there. And we had gravel ordered, and this, you know, truck comes and they're dumping gravel and everything else. And I thought, we're ready to go. We didn't know what we were doing. These guys didn't have the foggiest idea of what they were doing. And I thought they did. So I'm going along. So I start telling, you know, some contractors to come on down to take a look at the project and what's going on. And I had these guys, now these were professionals, you know. They built big buildings and stuff. They came walking in and looked and went, what is this? I said, well, this is that next thing. And then I explained to him the pad that we set up and everything. He said, I'd never seen anything like that. That gravel was a waste of money. We never used it. Anyway, praise God. But I learned. I learned through the whole process. Praise God. Thank God. Thank God we made it through. We're headed towards phase three. Watch out. We're getting there. We're getting there. But it's God's got to work with our natural understanding and abilities. And there's some things we're going to have to learn and grow up in and become better at and become more skillful at in order for God to be able to bring the supernatural to pass in our life. Just like King David. King David, when he went out against Goliath, he said to Goliath, he said, you come to me with a sword and a javelin. He said, I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts. And he attacked him. He had total faith in God, God's unlimited ability to take this giant down. Yet, God did use David's skillfulness with the sling. See, he was skillful with that, and that's what he used. Remember how Saul tried to put his armor on David? And David said, I can't go out to battle in this. I haven't perfected this. I haven't proven this armor. I've never worked at this before. He just went back to what he understood and what he was skillful with. But he was skillful with something. And God used that something to put his super on David's natural skillfulness to take down Goliath. So it's the natural, but not just. David didn't just have confidence in his skill with the sling. But he had skill with the sling. But he didn't limit himself to that. He understood that God was with him to take down Goliath. So we need to have both the natural and the supernatural working together. Over in John chapter 6, verse 4, talking about another time where Jesus fed thousands of people. It says, Philip answered Jesus and said, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may have a little. Jesus is asking again, what can we do to feed these people? And Philip's like, well, all we have is 200 denarii worth of bread, but it's not sufficient for them, that everyone may eat a little. Verse 8, one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, there is a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish. But what are they among so many? Do you see? Andrew looks and If it just ended right there. It could have just ended right there. Andrew would have been like this real spiritual guy. Andrew comes walking over and goes, hey, there's a lad over here, and he's got some bread and fishes. We got what it takes, Jesus. Whatever you, what, you put your super on this, we got this. Jesus said, bring it to me. And man, it's a miracle. Man, Andrew's faith is amazing. Unfortunately, that didn't happen. Andrew started out good. Well, hey, we got some bread and fish over here from this little kid. And everybody looked at him. Because thousands of people have to be fed. And he went, but what is that among so many? See, he had a handle of what they had, but then he limited God. What's the point of all this? Get a handle on what you got. Get a handle on where you're at. Know what your limits are in the natural, and then begin to expect God to cause you to be able to stretch and go out and experience his superabundance in your life. Can you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's stand on our feet. Let's thank the Lord tonight.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Stephen Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the many other teaching series and books by Stephen Fraser. That website again is lofbc.org, and you can always call 888-542-2555. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.